Alleluia, alleluia. I am the first and the last, saith the Lord, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. This is the gospel of the Lord.
May I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I have brought a mat for obvious reasons with reference to the gospel, which I shall put down here as a focal point if any of you feel inclined to use it, those of you who can see. Today is Rogation Sunday. Rogation coming from the Latin word to ask. It's when we ask for God's safe provision for us from the land and all things in life so that we can coexist peacefully with the earth. What a wonderful thought. And it's usually celebrated in rural churches. Having spent last week preaching in a couple of rural Devon churches, I know it will be celebrated there today. However, it applies very much, I feel, to our gospel today in the context of asking. As the invalid man at Bethzatha Pool just sat there indefinitely without having the faith to ask and consequently never reached that position of coexisting peacefully with the earth, not initially anyway. My message today is that we have to be proactive Christians and, through our faith, ask for God's help in all things. For the man in the gospel account today who did not even recognize Jesus, he certainly was renewed. And I'm sure that after Jesus had healed him, felt that he was completely coexisting peacefully with the earth. 38 years is an incredibly long time to sit as an invalid on your mat, with every day the same, waiting, watching, and hoping, with not much changing apart from the realization that this is probably all a waste of time. I wonder, and maybe you do too, as to whether there may have been a touch of hyperbole here in order to get the message across. 38 years. But whether or not that is the case, as long as we learn something from it, that's the important thing. Sitting on his mat had become a way of life, but his life was stagnant. I tried without much success to imagine his state of mind. Why didn't he ask? How much hope was there? But he sat there waiting, watching, and presumably hoping for renewal, that things would change. I think any hope must have come from the fact that there was a belief that this pool of water called Bethzatha had healing properties and that it had the potential to change one's life. It was said, though natural phenomena can provide other explanations, that every now and then an angel would stir the water. The water would begin to bubble, and the first one in the water at that point would be healed. But as we heard, there was no one to put the invalid man into the water when the opportunity arose anyway. And no one, he said, who he could ask. He's unable to see, though, that the deep well of life is within him. But he's convinced that life will bubble up outside of him. Over there, in that magic pool of water. So to him, it all definitely seems to be doom and gloom. The man was living an as-soon-as life. As soon as the water bubbles, I will get off my mat. As soon as I get to the water, my life will be better. As soon as I get into the water, my problems will be solved. That's not, however, the life Jesus offers. Couldn't every one of us tell a story about when we were stuck? This concept of the pool of Bethzatha has a strong attraction for us, which I'm sure is because of our fallibility. We can relate to being stuck. It continues throughout our lives, as when we're stuck, we have to console ourselves with the getting out clause of, as soon as. We all have the propensity to wait, sit on our mats, self-imprisoned by the circumstances of our lives, thinking that all the resolutions to our problems rely on outside influences and snatched opportunities, when, realistically, we are more than the circumstances of our lives. But what can we do about controlling it? The issue for this man in the gospel is surely about as big as you can get in the sense of being stuck. It's so great that even when Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be made well?" the man doesn't say, "Yes." Instead, he offers circumstances and excuses. I suppose he didn't know that this was Jesus about to perform a miracle, so he offered excuses based on those circumstances. "I've no one to put me in the water, no one to ask. When the water bubbles start, others get there first." So, immediately, the man has a negative response to a seemingly no-brainer of a question. But I don't find this surprising when you think of the possible state of this poor man's mental health. Jesus, though, doesn't help the man get into the bubbling water, but he comes to him as he's sitting on his mat, that same mat and situation from which the man so wants to escape, and speaks words of life and resurrection. "Stand up, take your mat and walk." So the man does not leave his mat behind, it goes with him. His circumstances are there with him. The difference, though, is that he now carries them. They no longer carry him. Isn't it amazing that Jesus called him, and indeed calls us, into a new way of being, seeing, acting, speaking, and thinking if we can manage to stand up and take our mats and walk? If we can do that, we're rising to a new life. That doesn't necessarily mean life will be easy, or that we no longer have to deal with circumstances thrown at us, but it does make things more manageable, and we can engage in them from a different place and position with God at our side. The pool of Bethzatha can be drained of its power over us, as we don't have to wait for those bubbles to appear and push forward first in the queue. There is freedom for us to get up and walk, just as Jesus showed here, so that where there was once imprisonment in just sitting and waiting, there is now freedom. And back to that rogation message, we can exist, coexist peacefully with the earth. The life Jesus offers does not happen as soon as, it happens in this place, at this time, and in these circumstances, here and now. Jesus will indeed be there beside us at the Bethzatha pools in our lives. Just ask. I don't necessarily talk about just physical help to others, but doing the God-like thing and assisting others in all we can. So on this Rogation Sunday, may we all go from this place coexisting peacefully with the earth, as we are reminded of all that God has given us and our dependency on Him for providing for our needs. Interestingly, our post-communion prayer, which we shall pray later, talks about God our Father, whose Son Jesus Christ gives the water of eternal life, the spring of life and the source of goodness. In return, we should have the faith to stand up, take our mats and walk in His name the best we can. Amen.